Welcome back to the Breakside Podcast, here for episode 33. This is your ultimate destination for in-depth collegiate and professional Frisbee discussions and interviews. I'm your host, David Adamitis. This episode's guest comes from the AUDL team, the Madison Radicals, where in only his rookie year, he was able to have a large impact, posting fantastic numbers. This earned him his name on the AUDL rookie second team. Introducing Anthony Gutowski. Anthony, how you doing? Thanks for being here.
I'm doing great, David. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. It's awesome to have you. I think this is a really interesting time of the year where, you know, kind of the recovery period of Frisbee in the fall is finished. And now teams are starting to look to the next year where they have spring tryouts. That whole process is going on for teams right now. So just to start this off, I think it'd be kind of neat just to hear what your experience was like a year ago when you yourself was going into these tryouts for the team, obviously the Madison Radicals. But what did it look like for you at the start of that process trying out for this team?
Yeah, so a funny story, actually. I should have played for the team the previous season. I emailed my coach and everything. He actually emailed me back and said, yeah, we'll have another open tryout in March because I was home in Illinois and I missed the trial process in Madison. And he never emailed me back, so I wasn't able to play for that season, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
Tryouts were a blast. I knew they were coming up. I got a bunch of friends and alumni that I knew they were going to the tryouts and kind of went in with just high expectations. I just played I played club going into it the year before on Mad Men, and I had a spectacular season on my back half. So I was people knew about me. The coaches knew about me. They kind of had my eyes on me, and I just balled out in tryouts, and that was kind of it, to be honest.
You mentioned like coaches knew about you, and that's something I've heard many times through chatting with people. Is you go into these tryouts, and it's always good to be known by these people. Obviously, that's a good fact, but in your experience, like, how much do you think that comes into play, having this reputation behind yourself? Like, do you see guys that show up to tryouts that are just unknown and ball out and get roster spots? Like, what's that balance look like?
I feel like for my experience, mostly the new rookies on the team, the coach had knowledge of prior to the season or for tryouts. So I feel like definitely if the better connections you have, you get in the more time they've seen you play outside of tryouts, because for my instance, it was tryouts in the middle of winter and we're playing on indoor soccer fields, which are like half the size, if that, of an ultimate field. So you can't really see people's true potential, and it's good to like just have knowledge of how they actually play outside and everything prior to the real season starting, if that makes sense.
Definitely. So you built this resume, right, through playing club, through playing college. How would you share with someone who's also trying to go into these tryouts themselves, if they could have built this reputation? What are some key parts to that?
I mean, I guess this is all about reps and playing, just getting out there, playing with everyone, beating people. I mean, I wouldn't say it's the hardest thing in the world. It also comes with skill too. Like, obviously people can tell if you've been playing for a long time or not, or how good you are, I guess.
You know, it's true. But obviously you made the team and you got to play this past season and you had a great season. Like I mentioned in the intro, you landed on the AUDL second team all rookie. So congratulations to that award. That's definitely an impressive feat there. Kind of what was your reaction when you were named to that team? You know, it's your first year playing, but to be honored that way, you know, that must have been pretty exciting.
Yeah, it was awesome. I remember I was walking back from, I just got out of one of my classes and I got tagged in something by the AUDL, and I was like, oh, okay. I wonder what this was. And it was all second team. I was excited by, like anyone should be, but I was kind of bummed I didn't make the first team.
that's very fair.
I guess
it's still obviously an honor. And, you know, key parts that led you to receiving that award. I believe you led your team in receiving yards. You led your team in goals, I believe. So very impressive. What was this mentality that you had coming in your first year playing AUDL and you just absolutely balled out? What was this mental picture for you like this season?
Honestly, I was more nervous than anything going into all my games. And I was just kind of – I was talking, I had a bunch of friends on the team that I made friends from the previous season playing Mad Men, and pretty much before every game, I was just kind of like focused on myself, don't let my defenders get in my head and just kind of just run around and get open.
Is there, to be able to be, I believe, I think I can be very safe to say you're an elite scorer for your team this past year. What kind of field vision does that take to have? Obviously, you got to time those cuts, right? You got to be open and you have that connection with your handlers. What's that field vision look like for you as you're out there making those cuts and making those big plays for your team?
I rely a lot when I play on my speed and my athleticism while I play. And that's, I believe, led the reason for me to score all the goals that I did. I just really out-muscled my opponents and was just faster than them in most of the situations, and they just couldn't keep up. The Radicals are not known for, at least what I was told, to, they don't like to throw deep at all, which I hate because I love running deep. It's like my favorite thing in the world. But I don't think too much when I play.
Dude, you're in the zone, man. There's something, they call it the flow, right? When you're in a state of just, excelling at something, and it sounds like what you're experience out in the field. So I think that comes with a lot of talent, a lot of hard work, which you've obviously displayed. And I want to, shift and talk a lot about Madison Radicals here. They're a fantastic organization, the AODL. I think they have one of the best histories out there. And everybody talks about the Madison Radical fan base, that they have an electric stadium, that it's always challenging to play there, to come in as the opponent and play there. Share with me elements of what it's like when you show up for a home game with that home fan base.
It is awesome. It is like nothing I've ever experienced before while playing Frisbee. You're used to playing in front of like 100 people, if that, on like a big game. And I remember my first Radicals game against the Union, and just like seeing like over 1,000 people there, just sitting there and watching, screaming after every play, and everyone's getting electric and excited. It's just something that I can only experience, I feel like, at Bree Stevens. And it's like at no other field that I played at this last season. It's like truly.
Yeah, everybody talks about how amazing this is. And it's kind of fun. What's the secret sauce? Like, what makes Madison so special? Do you know?
I think there's just a lot of people that play Ultimate in Madison. They have so much summer leagues. They obviously have UW Madison, the Hodags, which they're like one of the biggest programs in college, and they have been for the last 30 years. And I think there's just so many people that just play that casually and just know about the sport. And it's like right in the heart of downtown, and everyone knows about it, I think.
I think it's really, and the organization themselves has done a great job in rallying, the crowd and just embracing the team. And from the beginning, the team has done very well. I believe the overall record, it's almost double the amount of wins to losses that the organization has. So you're a rookie, you come into this team who has a history of doing very well with a fan base, you just described it as awesome. Like, what does it look feel like to come into a team that has a really rich culture as a rookie, as a young person out into this team?
It was sweet. I mean, personally, I don't think I watched a single AUDL game until my first game. Like, I didn't watch the AUDL at all. I obviously knew about it and everything, but I don't know. I don't know how to explain it at all. It's just some, I don't know.
It's something, it's like bigger than you, right?
It's I don't even know how to explain it.
No, it's good. It's special. I think it's the word, and I don't think it's, you find something as common as that across the AUDL because it is so young, but they have something special up in Madison. So, and you get to be part of that, which is really, really cool. And, I mentioned a little bit earlier that impressive win, all those impressive wins, you guys won the title back in 2018. You had five division titles in the Central Division there. So again, that goes back to that very special history. However, the last couple of years have been a little rocky for the organization. This past year, you guys went 4-8, I believe.
Yeah, it wasn't too good.
Yeah, so obviously, something a little bit lacking. From your experience this past year, can you point to a couple of things, or just, the team needs to improve these areas and to get back to where you were?
Yeah, so one of our biggest points that our coach on the season made was not getting scored on at the end of each quarter. And that happened to us a lot. And I think like 3 out of our 8 losses was because of getting scored on at the end of the quarter. we had a lot of games where we lost by 1 or 2 points. Our first two games came to losses on buzzer beaters, which kind of sucked. But yeah, it wasn't the best season particularly. There's a lot to work on.
Yeah, there always is, right? So, you know, look, that's looking at the team as a whole. If you could look at your to yourself, what are some areas that, you know, you want to improve going into this next season?
I definitely want to improve on throwing the disc more. I think I only had like 50 completions and I had like 37 goals. And I think I can definitely be more a part of moving the disc upfield and not just being a goal scorer essentially, but also throwing goals too. And yeah, I mean, I just got to work on making better time in my cuts a little better, just not in the end zone. Because in the end zone, I'm fine, but like downfield, midfield, or like in our own end zone, I can definitely do a lot better with getting the disc and passing and moving it upfield.
In this process of like self-reflection, you're looking at ways that you can improve. Are these conversations you have with your coaches there and say, hey, like Anthony, I want, you know, here are a couple things for you to work on. Or, you know, do you go to look at film of those games? You know, how do you, what's this process for you?
Honestly, this last year, there wasn't too much of a process for me. I would go out to practice and we'd work on everything and everything in practice would go well. And they would just come to games and I'm not sure if it's just me or if I wasn't getting open well enough. Because we definitely have a lot of other cutters on our team that can fill that role better than I can, that have been playing on the team for like 8 or 9 years now. But I feel like as I work in to the system a little more and I become more around my players and coaches, I'll be able to fulfill that role a little better.
Now, talk to me a little bit about your experience with the coaching staff there. Just, you know, your interactions kind of in the day-to-day, those practices, and what do they bring to the game day experience?
They're awesome. I mean, we have Tim DeBile, who's like one of the main people in the AEDL. He's running the whole AEDL and everything. He's just a great guy. He loves everyone. He's just awesome. Then we got Spyro, who's our defensive coach. I haven't talked to him too much. He's also good. They all want to make everyone be the best player they can be. They might be a little hard, but nothing like that's not manageable.
Yeah, no, it's very talented staff they have. And, you know, we all know out there, the AUDL is a very different type of game. You've mentioned you play club, you play college. So just, I mean, the basic thing of field size is different, you know, stall count is different. What was that adjustment like coming onto the Radicals and playing a different type of Frisbee?
It wasn't too bad. We started practicing and I started adjusting to the rules literally the day after tryouts. We had our first practice or like a few days after tryouts, we had our first practice. So it was like, right away, I was getting adjusted to the stall count. The field size is awesome compared to college. Like, I remember after playing AEDL and then switching back to club and going back and forth, I was like, wow, this is terrible while playing club. I was like, I miss my big fields and my big end zones and everything. And the stall count's not, I don't think the stall count's that bad. I didn't sell bad being 3 seconds less, but I feel like, especially playing at that level, people can get the disc off pretty quick or to the point where it's not that big of an issue.
Did you find it was a hard adjustment for you, or did you kind of fall into that pretty easily, you think?
I don't think it was that difficult. Like I said, I mean, I didn't have the disc too much in my hands during the field, so the stall didn't affect me too much. The one thing that did affect me was the double team. It was a lot of pressure that I was not normally used to, especially getting the disc on the sideline. I know I had like 2 or 3 turns a season just because I was getting double teamed and I couldn't get the disc out of my hands in time, or I had to force something that was just not a good look.
So, you know, one thing that ADL loves to do, they're making, you know, always making these little tweaks to the game, trying to make it more exciting, which I think they do a great job and produce very good content. But I'm curious, you know, just in your own experience right there, talking about the double team, do you miss the one-on-one matchups of club or college compared to that double team? Or do you think that was a good addition to the rules of the game?
I think the double team is fun because there's obviously benefits of doing it, and there's also the disadvantages, because if someone's like really good and they can break two people, there's someone open and they either have a wide open shot so they can look deep that are unguarded, or they can go deep and potentially have no one on them. So I think it's just kind of how you play it out. There's definitely a system behind it that most defenses had while running it. Like, it's usually a sideline defense, I feel like. But no, double teaming is great. I think it should stay in the AEDL though. especially with the bigger fields, it's a lot easier. I feel like if there was double teaming in like club or college on the fields that aren't as wide, it would definitely be a more of an advantage to double team.
Yeah, there's definitely little pieces to that, but it goes back, you know, the ADL is trying to produce, you know, a very viewable content here. And I think they do a great job with it there. So, you know, I would love to hear a little bit more of just the culture, your experience. You come in as a rookie again, and you've had players there that have played for years and years and years. What was it like interacting with these veterans? You know, how do they embrace you? What was this community like within the team?
It was fun. You know, me being a younger guy and all these, some of these guys are in their late 20s and I'm in my early 20s, still in college, being like just kind of a goon, I guess. It was fun. Our first game was in Pittsburgh, and like we took a coach bus and everything down, and I kind of sat at the back of the bus where all the older dudes were, and I was just messing with them the whole time, just being a little annoying, you know, kind of poking at them. It was fun. It's fun being around everyone as a rookie.
Imagine you're just in a place to, you know, absorb as much as you can from those guys, right?
Yeah, I definitely learned a lot too throughout the whole season. They definitely taught me stuff that just the farther better my play, and it's definitely an advantage to have everyone around that's been playing for in the league, especially for 8 or more years.
Yeah, what, you know, speak a little bit more on that. It's you know, people always talk about, you know, unique game day experience, which is true, but so much about learning a frisbee, I think, is done on the sidelines, right? You know, just absorbing that way, you know, what was that like in your experience?
It was good. It was good. I mean, so we had a lot of people, a lot of our older veterans on the team didn't play as many games this season as we'd liked them to, just because of injuries and, you know, their body and everything. But just being on the sideline, it's great. I've been playing, obviously, I'm going into my 10th year playing, so I've been playing a long time already. And so I feel like I know a lot of things, but there's definitely a lot of things that I don't see that the older guys will come up and they'll tell me what to work on and what to do in specific situations, just so I don't mess up again.
So looking ahead to next year, right? You're a very talented rookie here. You're going to go into your second season. What kind of, you know, larger impact you want to have in this team? Obviously you want to flip that 4-8 record around. If you go maybe 8 or 4 or better, right? You want to be in that winning column,
yeah.
But what are goals that you have personally for next year? And, you know, have you guys had those conversations of what are goals for the organization next year?
If we have talked about it, I have not been involved with the goals for next year. But I assume our goals for next year is just to win more games, step up our defense. I know Madison has been known for having a super great defense in the last, since forever, I guess. But I know our coach wants to work on our defense. For me personally, like I said, I want to work catching the disc more, throwing it more upfield, and just being a more impacted player, not in the end zone.
Definitely. And it's things like that will flip that record around. So rooting for you guys there. And again, it goes back to the history of what Madison is and what Madison has done. Very exciting. But I want to go back to something you said earlier of, you know, I've mentioned this several times, you have as well, of playing club and playing college. But then you add AUDL to that. That is a very long season of Ultimate. What is, you know, how do you get through that as a player?
Yeah, it is very long. And it's specifically hard because you usually got two of those overlapping for most of the season. I mean, club is mostly summer. It goes into the fall. And then AUDL is pretty much spring and summer. It's not as difficult as you would think it is. At least for me, I find time to manage everything out, but it's definitely a lot. I mean, people talk about burnout all the time. It's definitely a thing. Like it definitely, there's some times where it's like, okay, I got to chill out. My body is just killing me after having 3 different practices a week and a tournament. Like over the summer, I either had a Radicals game or a Madmen tournament every weekend. And it was just a lot.
Oh,
but it's
yeah,
fun though. I love doing it.
It's exhausting, but yeah, that's right. We do it for the love of the game. We're not getting, I'm not getting paid to do this podcast, and you know, you're getting paid a little bit, hopefully for
yeah,
for
like here. A little bit, nothing like worth bragging about, but yeah, no, it's all for the game. It's just because I love playing so much.
Exactly. And another difference I would love to chat with you about here is the idea of officiating a game. Obviously, in the AUDL, you have refs at every game, but you're looking at your club, your college scenes, refs aren't as present. What do you think about that balance? Do you enjoy one over the other?
The refs are cool. I think they definitely benefit over anything. Although I do got to say, some of the refs, sometimes I feel like they don't know what they're talking about, or like, like sometimes they just like won't make calls when they should, or they make them when they should. I don't know. I think the refs are a good thing though. I mean, I definitely think also making your own calls is okay in club and college, because usually people are right. Sometimes they're wrong, but it's all
One downside I see of that making your own calls, it, you know, tends to lead to arguments sometimes. Pretty major disagreements there, and it slows the game down, right? There's a large, long pause trying to dispute what's going on there. So, you know, the AUDL definitely has a faster paced game, I think, because of that.
Because of the refs, yeah.
Exactly. You know, it's funny, you mentioned, you know, the quality of refs too. We had a conversation on this podcast a couple months ago with Adam Ruffner. He works for the AUDL, and he was talking about one thing they're hopefully working on next year is the quality of refs. So, you know, that's always something. They're always trying to improve the quality of their game. So you mentioned that you've been playing for a long, long time now. Back way up for me. How'd you get into the sport?
So we actually had a middle school team, and you couldn't join the team until you're in seventh grade. But I knew a lot of people in my neighborhood actually just played the sport, and I was always tossing the disc around with my dad when I was younger. And it was just kind of like our friends all started playing, and we all had a fun time doing it. It was like their dads were the coaches too, or like assistant coaches, if you were to say. And I mean, I just started seventh grade. We had a high school team that was really good, and I just never stopped.
That's incredible. Yeah. So you go from middle school to high school to college, now to, you know, club and AUDL. That it's a track I think a lot of players out there have definitely not done. It's not too common.
Yeah, no, played. I'm definitely grateful to be able to have started where I did, because I wouldn't be the player that I am right now.
Oh, exactly. Have you ever gotten the chance, you know, you go back to your old high school and, you know, show some of those guys the ropes?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, our Illinois high school ultimate in general has just kind of been dying out since COVID and everything. I feel like, especially just like where I'm from, ever since COVID, like our numbers have just been splitting in half every single year. So I'm not even sure if my high school team has a team this year.
Wow.
I would always go around. I mean, people know me. I'm here like usually in the summer. I love my old coach.
That's good. It's all about the relationships, right? Yeah. That's one of the most special things about this sport, I think, is building a relationship, your teammates. And, you know, a question I love to ask is, I think every athlete out there has moments like these where you could just close your eyes and you can be, you know, remember that moment, that game, that throw or catch, or, you know, that game winning play, whatever it is, you know, special moments. Do you have a particular moment like that over your Frisbee experience where like, that was it? I loved it.
Yeah, I've had a few. There's one of my favorite moments though was in my sophomore year in high school. We were on the JV team, and we one of our teammates threw this huge cross field hammer for the win, which eventually led us to win the championship. And it was just like one of the best moments of my life. The game was so chippy, like one of the most fun games I've ever played. And it ended on one of the sickest plays I've ever seen.
That's what it is, man. You live for those moments, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's special. So special here. And, you know, we've covered quite a bit here in depth looking at Madison Radicals and how you got into this sport. You're going into another year of Frisbee in college. Obviously, you have the spring, but you have one more year after that, you mentioned before we hit record. And I would love to hear just a little bit of the dynamics with your college team. If you want to share who you play for, you know, what school, and your experience with them.
Yeah, I play for Subpar. We're a D3 school in the middle of Wisconsin, and we play D1 Ultimate. And in the past, we had a really good team. Pretty much leading up to my year, our numbers were like we had a team with 60 people on it, or 50 people, and it was nuts. And ever since pretty much COVID, like we had that one where everyone didn't play in the fall of 2020, and we had a pretty decent sized team going into 2021 and 22. And then ever after that, it's just been hard to kind of like, we'll get new rookies every year, people that haven't played prior to college, but we're working. We have a good team right now. We're good.
It's always tough in college. I think, you know, also played in college, and you're pulled in so many directions. I think you're trying to set yourself up for the future, but you know, screw classes, go out there on the field and play frisbee, right?
Yeah, kind of.
No, for sure. And what's your role? Are you a captain of the team? If you're not a captain, you know, I think
I'm a captain.
You are, okay. Yeah, and how do you see your role in that? I think a conversation I think a lot of captains have or face is that balance between being there for guys but not being overbearing in that. So share with me what's that role like for you being a captain there?
We just recently got a coach, so it took a little of the stress off the captain, so we can be like kind of, because before we didn't have a coach or anything, and you know, captains in the college teams, they would have to teach everything and the basics to all the new kids and whatnot. This year and last year, we were lucky enough to have a coach on our team, which kind of has taken the hit off the captains for, like, we'll be there at practice and everything, but we're more, like, in-game spiritually trying to cheer our team on. But, I don't know. I play a pretty big role. People look up to me. They know how good I am. They know I've been playing for a long time.
That's what it's about. It goes back to those relationships, right? Building it with the young guys, right?
And we also do, like, a lot of stuff. We're in Wisconsin. We do a lot of other fun stuff besides frisbee for the team, and we have a lot of our team is just such a bond together. Like, if you join subpar, you are a part of subpar for life. Like, we have alumni that come down all the time and support the team. We have a huge, like, just supporting cast for everyone. We're just a huge brotherhood. It's awesome.
That's so special. You know, just a few months from now, I'll be going down to where I went to school, my alma mater, and be playing in their alumni game. It's just so fun to go back, and you're with those guys. That's what it's about. It's a community. It's a brotherhood. It's a group of guys that worked hard for something. And I truly think there really aren't many things that compare to a bond like guys playing sports. There's nothing like it out there.
Nothing.
Absolutely love it. And Anthony, I would love to ask here, if you could give a piece of advice to somebody that's trying to find their role on a team, you know, someone that's new to a team, what would you share with that person?
Guard the best player and try to make the biggest impact you can. Do something cool on them. Get a D, just go out there and have fun. But this is what I always do. I always go out there. I try to find whoever the proclaimed best player, most athletic person is, and I just try to clamp him up and make big plays on him.
Match up with the best. I like it. Yep. If you want to be the best, you gotta fight against the best or train against the best, right?
Yep.
I love it. And that kind of brings us to close here. I just want to open it up. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
I got nothing too much right now. I mean, I'm just getting ready for this next year. I just sprained my ankle at the end of Mad Men. I had a pretty bad sprain, so I haven't really been on the field the last 6 months, but I'm really looking forward to getting out there. I've focused on my body a lot. I've taken my athleticism for granted, and I just can't wait to show everyone what I've been working on this off season.
Dude, I love it. Put people on notice. You're coming back. Watch out, Central Division. Anthony's on the return, on the tear. Anthony, just thank you so much for everything you've shared. It's been pretty fun to dive into kind of the Madison experience, if you want to say, a lot of good there, and just cheering you guys on for this next year. And I think you guys are really going to set yourself up to do well. So just thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, David. It was a pleasure.
Appreciate it. And everyone out there, make sure you check out Anthony and the Madison Radicals on Instagram. You can see what they're up to as they prep for this upcoming season. And as always, make sure you check out the Breakside Instagram at Breakside_podcast. And that brings us to the end of episode 33. This is David Adamitis with Anthony Gutowski of the Madison Radicals. Thanks for listening. Have a great night.